So we've been talking about money in marriage. Last time we talked about the big idea was that we were stewards and that we, all we have is from the Lord. And I believe we're on page 3. And so if you remember last time, we were kind of talking about wisdom, right? That we're seeking to be wise. And there was a little bit of overlap. If you were here for the sermon last time, we saw that there was a lot of wisdom from the Proverbs about how to manage what God's given us. So, to jump in, we're going to start with a case study down at the bottom of page 3. So this is Mike and Jessica. Mike and Jessica love their church. Since they joined...
Page 4.
Still my formatting. Is it at the top of 4?
Yep.
Okay. I need a side by side. So, somewhere in the packet, Mike and Jessica. They love their church. I think it's still Mike and Jessica. Since they joined 7 years ago, they've seen significant spiritual growth in their family. One day, Mike's boss let him know that they are downsizing. Most of his department is being terminated, but Mike is given a choice. He can stay on in a smaller capacity for about half the salary, or if he's willing to relocate to a different state and commit to a 5-year agreement, the company will keep him on at the same position and salary. So how would you counsel Mike and Jessica? So here's the company's options. They say one, right, he can stay, right, with what conditions?
Half the salary.
And possibly a smaller capacity. So we don't know if that means less hours, less responsibility. Or what's he need to do?
Relocate,
right? And the stipulations there are?
5 years.
5 years, 5-year commitment. Also, what about?
Same
pay. Kind of the same job, different state, so it's not just like neighboring town. So if they come to you, right, you've got these are the what would you tell them? What would you ask them? What would you want to know about Mike and Jessica to help them make the decision? Judy, you gonna say, stay out of California?
Okay. If they're not going to get there and sign this 5-year thingy, and the company says after a year, oh, well, you're out of here.
Yeah. Is the company still going to?
That happened to some people when I knew.
Yeah.
Is there a good church where you're really good?
Great question. What is the church situation there? Why is that so important?
Yeah.
Sometimes people just have the assumption that there's churches everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And I can go anywhere I want, and I'll find a church, right?
Is the salary, transfer between the states?
Cost of living?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It may be that where they're moving, it's the same dollar amount, but it also is equivalent to half the...
Yeah.
Yeah, how does this wife feel, which is Jessica? Right, both of them, actually, right? How do they feel about it? Mike and Jessica. Right, but what's their, yeah?
Do they pay to move them?
Okay, cost of moving?
Mm-hmm. Be expensive.
There's a lot of costs incurred there, moving.
Yeah. I think the very first question should be, can Mike afford to sustain his family on half salary?
Okay, yeah, so over here, right? Kind of, is that enough?
I would ask, are they able to, downsize in, what they spend on, but also, is Jessica able to work?
Okay, you're getting creative, right? So they've got, do they downsize their costs? Does Jessica work? Or can she work?
Well, if Mike's in a smaller capacity and working part-time, he can get another job.
Yeah, so this could be additional, right? Does he get an additional job? Or is there a third, he just gets a completely different job,
yeah.
Right? New job.
Your house.
Yeah, that's what's the
is
house?
Is it paid off? Are you gonna make money? Is the new home gonna cost?
Yeah, so this cost of living, cost to move, right? That's a big, what's their situation in their house? What's the market like? Are they gonna lose a bunch of money on their house? Do they even sell it? Can they even sell it?
Well, first of all, Mike needs to know if his talent is sellable, if he can go to another company. If he can, he can walk in and say, hey, if you're gonna pay me enough to move, if you're gonna do this to get me to move, I'll stay here for the same amount of money or I'll get another job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put the load back on the boss.
Yeah. So
if
one
they like
thing.
Him that much, just give him an alternative.
We wanna ask, you know, can he look at all of his options and say, I know these are the two you gave me, but what about this?
If it's a 5-year contract, would it be like opportunity to raise the paycheck because the inflation in the country?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it gonna be just the same amount of money the whole 5 years?
Yeah, with 5 years, is there kind of upward mobility?
Can Mike stage an uprising and take over a CEO?
A coup? Yes.
But also, what happens after 5 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's the long-term career?
That would be a question to ask the company. Like, is there an opportunity to extend past 5 years? Or is it only 5 years? Might not be worth it.
It might be they want him to move every 5 years.
Right.
Right? Could be, right? As if any of you guys have known or worked in some occupations in sales, if you're a rep, you could be traveling all the time, right? There's a lot of factors there. So those are all fantastic questions. Yes?
This does not say for children, right? That's a huge thing to consider is the children and ages.
Yeah, children. Lots of questions there. And a lot of this questions, right? These are like, what would we ask? We would ask this. And so let's think about what's then counsel-wise. Let's say we ask a lot of these questions. Depending on the answers you get, what are going to be the principles that would guide you in terms of making this decision or what you would advise them to do? I mean, when you think about children, selling your house, like there's this idea we talked about as well, is there a church? The idea that is there stability for his family where they have a school, they have a support, they have a church community. They're stable enough that their energies can be devoted towards growth. Whereas when you remove that stability, a lot of that growth can be frozen while you have to readjust to new school, new church, new town, new job. So counsel that you would give to either, you could say, who are these people? Mike and Jessica. Anything you'd say to Mike? Anything you'd say to Jessica?
Yeah. I'd be curious just what they feel like the Lord has been directing them on. Because there could be obviously, logically, one side that makes sense. But if it's been clear that the Lord is moving them for some reason or staying for some reason, and a lot of the particulars don't quite matter as much.
Yeah, so, and he might be communicating that through, you know, what's the godly counsel in their life?
Yeah.
Say, right? Yeah. All the godly men and women in their life. Yes?
So one thing I would say then, if they like look around and there are some decent church options, then maybe he could ask if he could have like a 2-week or a 1-month assignment at that place to go there and like get a feel for it in person.
Scout things out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this church situation, it could be there are churches, partner churches, sister churches, in a sense, where you have a working relationship. That would be very different than we don't know anybody in the area. Leo.
I was going to say, too, how long does he have to decide? Like, how long does he have to, like, actually scope things out? Like, is that 2 weeks, or is it a month, or is maybe, like, just a week?
Yeah.
Like, go and look and see, does he have time to go see if there's a different church they could go to? Or, like, are you living and stuff? Or are they, like, wanting a quick decision that he
Yeah. Yeah, your counsel is going to vary depending on how much time he's given to make that choice, for sure. Yeah, Derek.
Well, it'd be a question of like, how much is he making full salary versus half?
Like,
he's still going to make good money on half salary.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like that might be where they might be able to downsize from $500,000 to $250,000. Yeah. Right. Yeah, but if they're going from 50 to 25, or you know, like that's a big difference. Yeah.
I just talk about priorities with them in terms of can he provide for his family financially,
mm-hmm.
can provide for his family spiritually,
mm-hmm.
and if he can do that in both places, then he's free to do what he wants. If his, he and his wife are in agreement, especially.
Right. And so when we think about this, right? Bring up a couple of good points, right? So when we provide for our family, right, a man's supposed to provide for, we got financially, and then spiritually. Spiritually, I can spell it. And like we talked about last time, is that there's many cases where you have the commands, and then there's a lot of freedom to do that. And so that's, when they're talking about it, it might be tempting to say, what's the right decision and then the wrong, like, sinful decision, where it may be that it's the best decision versus an okay decision as well. So that's clearly defining whether or not he can provide or how God would have him provide for his family.
I think, though, there could be wrong motives to stay, and therefore
sure.
that would be the wrong
yes. motive. Yes, yes, yes. But usually those are more, they're more internally determined than they are externally. So the external situation might allow him to make multiple right choices, in a sense. But he could also, he or she could also sinfully react to this trial. So they could choose to stay out of fear. Or they could choose to leave just out of, materialistic reasons. There's lots of sinful responses to what they're seeking out, and so, or what they could, how they could react. Judy?
Pray and listen for God's responses to what they should do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely going to advise them to pray as a family, to pray, have people praying for them, because that can be a huge way in which God speaks to them either through counsel, through circumstances, right? A job pops up, somebody says, hey, I have this, I was been looking for someone that could do this. This job. Any other thoughts?
I think also looking at support, like if this is a cross country move where there's no family,
uh-huh.
and they've got a bunch of young kids, that's a lot different
yeah.
than moving.
Yeah.
Maybe one state over, depending on where they're at, like, or if the place that they're moving to maybe has a strong church, but there's no women's group or there are no children's groups, like, just depending on the stage of their family, that can make.
Very much so. And I think that's a common thing when we think about your family and your finances, is that there's going to be, or there's often tension between extended family and the employer, as to there's a pull oftentimes to be close to your family or to work in a certain situation, a certain location. And so many times employers are looking to keep you there when you're being drawn by family. And family is often hopeful that you can eventually live close by. And so that's a tension that we have to kind of be ready to negotiate. Where do we want to live? Is it worth taking this job where I could earn more money in a different area? Or is it worth sacrificing being a little bit further from my family to have a job that's going to provide a little bit better? And oftentimes those are more wisdom issues, where it's not necessarily this is a obedience and this is a sinful choice. Okay, so let's look at point D. We had talked about things like working hard, avoiding getting rich quick. What else was one of the principles we did? We've had ABC. Work hard.
Don't be too rich or too poor.
Don't be too rich or too poor. Yeah, it's hard. Don't want to forget that one. So D is going to be understanding your financial situation. Okay, Proverbs 27:23, Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. So why is that wise to know your financial situation well? Why is that so important? You could give the positive reason or the negative, right? If you don't know, then this could happen. Can't manage what you can't measure. That's right. So how do you manage God's, what's God given you if you don't know what, don't even know what you have? What does that look like? Let's give some details. So condition of your flocks and attention, and maybe they were like counting them, checking on their health and all that kind of stuff. I'm not an expert shepherd in that sense. What is knowing, what does that mean for us though? How would you apply it to your finances?
You just have to be very realistic with everything. We had how much propane are you going to use a year? Everything.
Yeah.
You just you don't kid yourself. This is real numbers. This is, well, it might last longer. It ain't going to happen. But it just ain't.
Yeah. Sometimes you have someone who's the more pessimistic and one that's the more optimistic. Right, in terms of how much things are going to cost, right? Oh, we can get it for this much. And then I was like, I don't think so. Right? So yeah, one is really kind of paying attention to details. One thing that Carissa and I joke about is how, like, you'll set up your budget for all the things that you know are going to happen, and then you have the unexpected things, but you have to expect the unexpected things because there's always unexpected things, right? So yeah, so just paying attention to your details in terms of what things cost, right? How much is it gonna cost? Yes, sir.
I'm gonna give you a strange metaphor, so bear with me. If there's a wolf who's eating one of your sheep once a month,
okay,
and you never stop him, he's not going to just stop eating one sheep once a month.
Okay.
So if you don't handle, like, let's say your credit card,
mm-hmm.
If you forget to make a payment, you don't owe just the same old regular amount. It's going to get exponentially worse the longer you don't address it.
Yeah.
And so if you're not handling it quickly, then it's gonna go bad, and then you're not gonna want to look at it, and then you're not gonna look at it, and then it's gonna get even worse.
Yeah.
And that's how you get crippling debt.
Yeah. And when we're going to get to, things like how to control and manage, but like Floyd was saying, like you're saying, before you can control it, you have to know it. You have to know, am I spending X amount of dollars more on my credit card every month? Am I doing this every month? Am I saving any money every month?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, just have a real honest look at what your needs and what your wants.
Ooh. Okay. Needs versus wants. You remember last time? What was the biblical?
Needs I wants.
Needs slash. I needs I wants. No.
Needs I wants.
Needs slash wants. Question. Questions. But last time, do you remember? Give me neither so much that I'm too rich or too poor. What's the biblical contentment standard?
Food,
I have enough food. I think somewhere else it's like clothing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Shelter.
Food, clothing, shelter. We'll put that on the needs over here. Yeah, so really viewing things as wants is kind of an important step for most of us. That most of these decisions are dealing with wants, but there can be times. So again, we know the difference between needs and wants. We pay attention to things that are common problems.
There might be a sense of how much can you afford to lose?
Okay,
so if you
so like,
are investing or buying livestock,
risk
how much,
tolerance.
Yeah, how much can you afford to lose?
And so that can affect a lot of things like insurance, life insurance. If you're the sole breadwinner and you have several small children and your wife stays at home, there's a lot of risk if you were to die. So
yeah.
You want to have some good
but you have your own business.
Yeah, and if you're the only one that does that business,
mm-hmm.
and something happens to you, you get hurt, right? Liability, there's all these kind of financial decisions that involve how much risk you can.
Or how much money you put into the company versus how much you have to hold into reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Do you build the shop or not, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Very, very appropriate. That's it. So investing, yeah, it's all kinds of things. You hire new employees. Mm-hmm. And so what about age? Is that a factor in terms of knowing the condition? Like how much potential do you have of your workforce ahead of you? And how close are you to not being able to work anymore? Those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So knowing your picture makes a lot of influence on your decisions, right? Knowing your situation. So if you have a job, like thinking back to the situation before, one of the things about knowing your condition, your financial condition, is when you get a job, you want to really understand your benefits, right? Do I have health insurance? Do I have life insurance? What happens if I get injured on the job? When can I retire if there's a pension? All of those type of things will influence the decisions you make. So an example might be, if you work at a job where there is no retirement plan, then that's going to affect your investment versus if you work at a job where they have a full pension type plan. So your saving and investing is going to look differently in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Judy?
No, so maybe you think if you have a retirement plan at Google, what happens to that? If you should change jobs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
Can you cash it out or does it stay in the company and can you keep it there and roll it over?
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
Because some companies will allow you to do that. If you leave, you can leave your money there and it still earns interest. You just maybe can no longer put money in, but it can be there in an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to take it out.
Yeah.
But they don't force you to when you leave.
Yeah. I was thinking about this. One word we haven't mentioned starts with a B. Budget. Oh, I heard a couple people whisper. Is it budget? Is it budget, right? So what do you guys think? So there's a couple different approaches. There's all the way from, right, we just spend money on what we need and pray it will turn out all right. Then you got on the other end, right? If it's not written in the budget at the beginning of the month, we will not spend that money. Our car breaks down, it's not in there, we're not gonna fix it. And then you got kind of a variety of places in between, right? Where you have categories, this is how much we're gonna spend on the house. You got all the way back to the envelope system, right? You put the cash,
mm-hmm.
This is our food money. When that runs out, no more food. Right?
You eat the envelope.
We ate 30 days in 25 days, so we got 5 days less. Yeah, or you take money from the no gas, but we'll go ahead and have food. So budgets, what do you think? Is this a part of knowing your finances? Any effective ways of budgeting that you guys use, prefer? Everybody's kind of.
I mean, there's definitely different methods of budgeting.
Yeah.
Like, not everybody's going to do it the same. Mm-hmm. I think there's the principles of what a budget is and why you do it and how you keep over it, that are the priorities.
And like a lot of those differences really should guide you in how you do or if you do a budget. So like the way in which we get paid, right? Is it a fixed amount? Right? Is it, do you get paid weekly, monthly? Right? So some of those can have a greater impact on how important it is for you to budget. Right? If you have a fixed amount that comes in fairly regularly, that'd be different than someone who's purely on commission and they're really having to do a lot more planning to figure out. Yeah.
I'm a single dude in his early 20s, so obviously that's going to be different for me than for a lot of people. But
okay.
Usually I like to keep, if I'm going to buy food, for example, I like to keep it, I think in terms of days. So I will spend 2 days of money on a month of food. And I make $14 an hour. I'm working 7 to 8 hours a day. So it comes out to a certain amount. I think of it in terms of days. How many days am I spending on this thing?
Yeah.
And so if I see a TV, you know, going back to the very first example, it's $3,000.
That's good.
First off, that's like 2 months.
Yeah.
That's 2 months of my life. Do I really need that TV in exchange for 2 months of my life? And I think the answer is no. And so, generally, if something is going to cost me more than 4 to 5 days, I don't buy it.
Yeah. And I was thinking, too, that that idea of, like, you're equating the amount of labor, the amount of your life, the amount of your time it's going to equate to purchase that and spend that money now. You can also think about the ideas we're going to talk about of debt and retirement in the sense of when we get money from debt, we're incurring future, right? I have to work for that in the future. That's future labor. And with retirement, that's past labor. So in our working life, if we're working exactly what we need to pay for all of our bills, then we have no retirement and no debt, if that makes some sense. Right? If we're working more than we need for our bills, then we're providing all our needs and providing for later when I can't produce all of that labor. And then if I'm working or earning less than I need to meet my needs, I'm storing up for myself future labor that needs to take place to more warming than the past. Mm-hmm. So understanding like how much of my life am I going to have to commit to make this purchase?
Teaching once on biblical finances to a group, 30, 40 people, and I actually had them go through a budget, so a basic budget, and fill it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the majority of them, and all of a sudden done, they realized they're all spending more than they earned. And it was just a shocker for them. Like they didn't know the condition of their flocks. And so sometimes a budget by itself can just help you figure out what you're actually doing. Because you think you're fine, you don't realize you're actually going into debt that you are.
Yeah, it's very true. And it's always, it's one of those things where like looking at the details, it's sometimes it's uncomfortable because you're like, oh, that stinks, you know. If you had a month where, the car had an issue and the house, something you need to replace and stuff. But it does help you kind of face reality and stop ignoring and just hiding from the truth and the reality. And the realization that it has to come from somewhere, right? That money is going to have to come from somewhere. And it can come from, you lose some of the money you've saved, you work extra overtime, or right, you've got to borrow so that you can pay it back later. And right, there's all these places where it's going to come from somewhere.
Budgeting, I always make a plan that you pay your rent first, your utilities. If you have a car payment, you pay it because usually you need a car to get back and forth.
Yes.
And then all other things come after that.
I don't know, I'd put food maybe up above.
Well, you always find ways to cut back.
Yeah.
In that area.
That's true.
Today it's not as easy as it used to be. Mm-hmm. Because even the things that used to be cheap are no longer cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like tithe and at the bottom first. Yeah. It's kind of a rule of thumb what we've done is you tithe off.
We found that in getting started, it was hard to just be like, here's our budget and what we're going to do, because we didn't actually know,
how much you're
what
spending,
everything costs.
What it costs.
So what we did just very practically is we started off, and once a week, I would just total up every single cent that we spent and put it in categories.
Right.
And after we did that for a few months, we knew what we needed to live off of. And we've never really been budgeters, but we've always been trackers. And so we know, if I want to spend an extra $400 on the house, it's going to come from somewhere, and we know where it has to come from. Mm-hmm. So for us, that's just still what we do about every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I enter everything that we've spent, like every dime in categories, tell Dave where we are, and then we can kind of make our decisions moving forward. Mm-hmm. So just for a lot of people, it's just hard to be like, I think maybe this is my food budget. we just don't know what it costs to, you know, so that's just a way to start.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes the spending rhythm is not month to month, but year to year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it works if you have extra cash, mm-hmm. so that you can kind of like do the ups and downs. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not invested or anything, it's just there so you can kind of make all the,
yeah,
all the payments.
I mean, ideally, in here, like you said, there's a margin. You have the margins,
yeah.
Right? Where, like in many budgets, you have like a miscellaneous where it's not our home, it's not our food, it's not these regular expenses, right? And it's not something I can predict. It's not us going out to eat or whatever. And
sometimes that's the biggest lineup.
Sometimes it is,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
True.
Which is, you know, sometimes it's good in the sense that that's easiest if it's like discretionary spending, and sometimes it's just facing the reality that unplanned things happen, and right, you didn't know that you were going to need the money or you're going to have the costs come in. But I think those two go hand in hand, that really the budgeting in terms of planning and the tracking should be kind of like a loop.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you, you know, are seeing that you spent $500 this month, 500, 500, 520, 520, 530, 540, right? As you see, there's maybe a growth in a certain area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it helps you plan that, okay, we're probably gonna need 600 in six
mm-hmm.
months from now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're noticing that originally you totaled up all your bills and your mortgage revenue, your housing was this much, and then 6 months you're realizing, man, why are we going over every month,
mm-hmm.
right? So you're tracking it at the end of the month, and then you're helping, that's helping you make adjustments if necessary and plan. And there's really kind of two ways to adjust, right? So you can always look at, okay, how can we cut our spending, right? And how can we increase our income? But in general, right, the number one important thing is that controlling the spending, right? If you can't stay under what you make,
mm-hmm.
it won't matter
mm-hmm.
what you make, right? So if you, whether it's 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 a month, if you're not staying under that, an increase in income won't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
You'll just spend beyond.
Something we haven't mentioned either is you need to include tithes, what you tithe to God,
yeah.
what you give back to God, because I don't know how each individual is, but I find when I tithe, my life goes so much easier than when I decide, okay, this month I can't tithe because I need this money someplace else.
Yeah, and being faithful
and
regardless.
Give it up and give it to God.
And like I think Pamela was saying, like doing it at the beginning, right, is a good way to kind of dedicate and say it's not based on how much I make or how the month goes. It's not the leftovers. It's at the first. It's the
and
first.
It's not first. Like give to God and you're going to get rich. That is not going to happen.
It might, but.
Well, I mean, you know. You don't
I know what you mean.
With that God,
that's right. That's not the motivation.
If I give this to God, then he's going to
yeah.
see to it that I become a millionaire.
I don't know, Joel Osteen has told me.
We'll talk after.
It's too late for me to listen.
That's right, that's right.
So I think that at some point you build a safety net.
Mm-hmm.
You build your budget on 40 hours. If you get five over, you stick to the 40-hour a week budget. The extra
mm-hmm.
five goes into the safety net, you pick up an extra sock puppet gig, and that,
sock puppet.
And that money goes into your safety net. So if that wolf eats an extra sheep that month, you got it covered.
Yeah. So that's another kind of the buzzword, right? Having a safety net or an emergency fund basically says, I know things are going to happen that I can expect. And so knowing that, kind of part of knowing the condition, it's just knowing, right, one of my sheep is going to break its leg. One of them is going to get eaten by a wolf, right? There's things are going to happen, and I need to have a way to account for that. Okay, let's look at, we need one verse. Let's do one more verse. Proverbs 16:8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. So, all right,
creative minds. How can someone make great revenues with injustice?
Correct.
What are the temptations? Stealing it, yes. Okay. No bank robberies. Okay. What else? What's that?
Gambling.
Gambling, okay. All kinds of forms of gambling, right? All kinds.
Exploitation.
What's that?
Exploitation.
Okay, in the sense of?
It could be like a boss taking advantage of his employees. Yeah. It could be like yep. Just taking advantage of people whenever you can.
Yes. So there's kind of within the business, right? Mistreating or underpaying your employees or not giving them benefits. There can be a lot of those things. And then there's even customers, exploiting your customers.
Time to. You have work to do and you sit there not doing that work.
And they're paying you, but you're not doing the
and
labor. I see
you.
What you're saying.
I think there is a difference between there's not enough work to be done and you have to like space it out a little bit to allow for the process to go at a healthy pace so you're not dumping everything. There's a difference between that and then we have lots of work to do and you're watching YouTube shorts.
Yeah. 15 minute break every 15 minutes.
Yes. I never take a break longer than 15 minutes, but I never go 15 minutes without taking a break. And so, yeah, if you're getting paid and you're doing nothing and there's stuff that desperately needs doing, then you are failing at your job.
Yep.
And also, employers today kind of do this that's, I don't think it's fair and it's not right. They hire a lot of part-time help when they actually need full-time help. But they
right.
hire the part-timers
benefits.
Because that way they don't have to pay any benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They both don't have to pay time and a half for overtime. They don't have to pay for health insurance or anything. They get by with actually, I think, stealing from the people that work for them.
Yeah, that's something that, especially if you are a business owner or an employer, there's probably a lot of places where I think like what Judy's saying is that it may not be crystal clear the difference between like what you morally ought to do and what the law allows you to do. So there may be freedom to do something that is perfectly legal but may not be morally the most righteous thing for you to do. And so navigating that, how can you honor the Lord with his, and be a wonderful steward and have a good name, right, in terms of the business that you operate and the employees that you hire? Yes?
This might be in a totally different direction, but like, if you're not merciful with people because you don't budget for that meal for the homeless person or whoever, that is also, I think, a form of this. Because you're not being just and you're not being merciful, which I think you're called to do, because of your budget. I mean, I'm not saying like you should not feed your children so that other people can eat, but if you have it, you can't go to whatever restaurant this month or this week or something. I think that's a form of that too.
So you're saying part of this is being able to give generously or?
Like think about like if you sacrifice your mission's budget because you needed the money for something else. Like,
oh, I see what you're saying.
That's kind of a form of injustice as well.
Right, right.
Just because you wanted to
get
the extra amount for the interest rate this month.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great point. Just like with the church, if there's ministries that you are involved in that God's put upon your heart, it's very important and helpful to kind of set those aside first before you kind of spend the money that could easily disappear into some other category. And so making that a priority means faithfully doing that week after week, month after month.
Yeah, and there's a lot of cutthroat business practices. For instance, you hire somebody, they do the job, and you agree to do it for $10,000, and you say, I'm only going to pay you $9,000, sue me. And the guy knows if he sues, it's going to cost him more than $1,000, so he takes it.
Yeah.
So a lot of businesses will do stuff like that.
Yep.
and make more money and increase your bottom line, but it's pretty, and it technically is legal because it's all,
right.
You know, because the other person could sue, but it's just not worth it.
Yeah, or they'll, I mean, we've looked at from the employer, but even the employee, if you go to work for someone and they're training you up to really be able to do a job, they've really invested a lot of time and money in you, but your kind of your plans all along are to leave and kind of leave them high and dry when you're fully trained, take a better high paying position. And so some of those decisions, it's not necessarily exactly just what you do, but it's like the way in which you communicate that and whether you're upright, clear, saying, you know, I can only work for this time, I'll be going to moving or going to college, you know, being upfront instead of being misleading and deceptive. Yeah?
You can aim to have a job where you maybe don't make as much money, but you have time to be with your family, be involved in your community and your church, instead of rising up the ranks and paying a high price into the fronts.
Yeah. You're paying, like, you're gaining this sometimes, but you're paying by giving up all of your hours working.
Yeah, and that's so, a kind of unrighteousness when you make the choice to do that.
Right.
Not care for your wife, not care for your family, not be engaged in your church body.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
When
it can be. It can be. Yeah.
I mean, you die with the money, and just for grave robbers, archaeologists, a couple hundred years later to dig you up, and it doesn't matter. So at the end of the day, like, it's you're not gonna regret spending less time at the office. You're not going to wish, oh, I wish I had spent more 1 a.m. time working at the office, not being around my wife and children.
Yeah. What about, why is it better, right? It says better is a little with righteousness. So what is better about having a little or less money with righteousness than these great revenues? What are some of the benefits? Chris?
You have more
dependence on God when you know that if you don't get to work this week, right, then you're not going to have enough. What else?
More money, more problems.
Okay.
Sometimes you'd have those businesses that would hire you part-time. They can't necessarily afford you to pay full-time the benefits, but take it, be grateful that you can actually work part-time.
Yeah, I mean, when you're working part-time, it does, you have the disadvantage of the benefits, but there may be some flexibility in terms of the hours that you work.
Mike's like getting half a salary if he stays with benefits, but that might opportunity for him to be part-time for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you, having a little with righteousness means that you have righteousness, and so you have a clean conscience, a right relationship with the Lord, you have the favor of God. I mean,
yeah,
probably had better relationships because you're not cheating people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another one to go with this one is Proverbs 22:1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Mm-hmm. Right? And so sometimes you probably have people that you maybe throughout your life, if you're old enough, have dealt with that business did not treat you right in the business world. And so they maybe have benefited through riches, right? Getting the better of you in one sense, but their name has kind of been brought down in the sense of their reputation and the way that they've treated you. And over time, right, one of the benefits of having the little with righteousness is that, you know, you can be a representative of the Lord having a good name, having a good reputation. Whereas with the riches, with injustice, right, you're kind of defaming his name.
You get to be as old as I am, you look at the fact that, okay, they've taken this money monetarily, but God is their judge, I'm not. And there will be a day of reckoning, and I'd rather be honest, or, you know, try to be honest anyway with everybody, than to knowingly take something that did not belong to me and have to answer to God on Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Because there will be that day whether they realize it or not.
Yeah. I think one thing, maybe as we were kind of wrapping up to think about, is what's the relationship, and kind of before we go on, when you talk about this, revenues with righteousness and injustice, is there a difference between wisely navigating the business world and taxes and those type of things and gaining through injustice? So an example would be, should I just pay the maximum amount of tax on my business? Should I not compete with my competitive business that I'm... what's the relationship there? How do you successfully operate a business and turn a profit while still maintaining a righteous name? Yes?
Well, Matthew 19:23-24, and Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And it tells you something about the difficulty that those who are prioritizing wealth will have spiritually.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a cost and a burden, in a sense, to bear if you're carrying all of this wealth. Like, how do you manage it well, and a greater temptation towards that materialism? Yeah.
So, but we're also called to work as though we're working for God and not for man. So if you, oh, they're not paying me enough, that don't matter. You are to put in that work and to utilize the talents God has gave you to the best of your ability. So to be competitive in business, it's all fun. It is. The money's nice. We made good money this week, this month. But to be competitive and to use your talents, it's...
Yeah, well, I think when we talked about working hard, we read that verse that see a man skilled in his work, he'll serve before kings. So when you do a good job, going to receive a good name or a good reputation.
And I think there's a difference between being obsessed with money and not wanting to give or trying to get a good deal on taxes. I think part of the reason the government has set up methods for us to pay less taxes and be more careful about how much we pay in taxes and tax exemptions. That's part of the blessing that our government has given us. And the less money we spend on taxes is more money that you can spend in your direct community. Because I don't trust all of what my taxes are going to go towards.
Yeah.
I think I would trust a lot more me directly investing in the community around me. And so I think, yeah, don't be obsessed with money. But there's also a place to be business savvy, right? There's so many verses in Proverbs about business savvy people, and part of being business savvy is avoiding paying the maximum amount if you can do so in an ethical way.
Yeah, and understanding that, like you said, knowing well the condition of our flocks often means also knowing well the tax laws so that we're giving all that we are obligated to give in the wisest fashion. That means we really understand our business. And blanked on it. I forgot what it was. Must not have been important.
It happens to me too.
It happens all day. I can't remember what I was going to say. Must not have been important. Well, this is a good time to stop then. Maybe next week I'll have remembered what it is. Is it awkward or bad closing? All right. I'll pray that I'll remember what it was. Father, I thank you for this discussion, and I'm thankful that you have given us so much to guide us in how we can be stewards. We live in a time and a place where many of us are living with just wealth beyond a majority of a time through history, and places in the world where people barely have enough, to eat and barely have enough clothing and shelter, but God, you've given us a great amount of wealth in general, and pray that you'd help us to be great stewards of that wealth. Help us to apply these principles as we continue to learn them, to work hard and to honor you with a good name, to seek to not be too rich or too poor. And as we apply them, help us to see how these things bring honor and glory to your name and point people to you and to knowing you and you, just the great worth of knowing you. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.